when he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home.
For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. Proverbs 6:23. Join Bishop Patrick Bruce of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, as he brings you the pure, unadulterated Word of God. This teaching is anointed, practical, down to earth, and full of wisdom, and will refresh, energize, and bring healing to your body and soul. Listen to the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this evening, for this gathering right here in your presence. Thank you for your hand of mercy and goodness that is stretched out to us. May it cause us to rise up and be all that we can be. May your work increase under our watch. And let the blessings of above be upon us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. The ESV. It says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Tonight is a pastor's and shepherd's meeting. So I believe that I'm speaking to people to whom this is relevant. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. I believe there are overseers here, overseers of churches, of various, even basantes and other basantes in churches, exercising oversight, not under compulsion. The moment something is done by force or under some kind of pressure, it changes immediately and becomes substandard. The moment you give somebody a gift, but as you give the gift, you squeeze your face, the gift at once becomes poisonous. So it must be not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Because that is why we are here. Our maker and our chief shepherd is Jesus. Not for shameful gain. Tell somebody, I know you need money, but not here. This is not the place where we balance our budgets. This is not the place where we remember our outstanding bills. And then we see ways and means of filling the gap. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Eagerly. Eagerly means I want it, me. Left to me alone, I will still do it. Eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Hallelujah. So tonight, this is our key, the duties of a pastor. Amen. But that duty, Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking. Hallelujah. You should set in order the things that are lacking. And I believe we all understand what we are talking about. But those things that are lacking, Songs of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15. Catch the foxes for us. How many have seen a little boy who was running around at a serious meeting? There's some two-year-old boy running around when we are trying to have a discussion, have a service. I've not seen some before. A little boy just running around and he's happily laughing and he's very, very happy. We'll see some tonight. It's possible. Yeah. And when that happens, what you must do is catch that boy. Catch. Restrain him. Catch the foxes for us. The little foxes that spoil the vineyards. For our vineyards are in blossom. Hallelujah. You know, this evening, I'm just spending a few minutes to remind us of the duties of what it means to be a pastor. I mean, when we say pastor, what does it mean? Because sometimes things get lost in the passage of time. And I know that we who are here, we are Bible scholars. I know, we are Bible scholars. But unfortunately, the New Testament has very little to say specifically about pastors. But it says a lot about shepherds. But it has very little to say clearly about pastors. And so sometimes pastors, we may seem to have lost our focus or our direction because we don't know. There are no clear directions for us. Are you here this evening? There are no clear directions for us. And when you go to the Bible and then you see shepherd, it is amazing that some pastors forget their shepherds. Because a shepherd is a lower post than the post you have. You have passed that post. And I've got, I don't know why you don't understand what I'm saying. You have passed, and then when you see class one, class two, I mean, you are a JSS boy, you don't stop. You just keep walking, you know. So sometimes we can forget what it is, what is required of pastors. Hallelujah. So tonight, for just a few minutes, I want us to look at the duties of a pastor. And I also want us to remember where we are, because we are part of the United denominations originating from the Lighthouse group of churches. That's, look, when they ask you what church do you belong to, don't say Lighthouse. Do you hear? Because Lighthouse is now one of the many churches. And we who are here, we are not Lighthouse. We are a mega church. But we are the United denomination. Because all the 42 denominations, we are united. And we are originating. We all came out from the Lighthouse group of churches. And that's who we are. So what I'm giving you this evening is from that church. It's not a general, generic list. No. It's a specific, tailor-made list. That is for us. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen. And the reason why I am inspired to bring it up this evening is because in recent times, I have moved my church from this cathedral to another church. In that process, I have had the first-hand opportunity to compare and contrast what is being done in big churches as against what is happening in smaller churches. I have had the chance to not ask questions, but see for myself. I hope you are following me. See for myself. And some things, you see, when you are of a certain age, some things when you see, you don't have to ask questions. Or am I not? No, I don't know why. Yeah, some things, when you see a boy and a certain girl, or a certain, one day, I was standing somewhere with a lady. As we're standing there, some young lady just passed us and went. And when she passed us, then the lady told me, she's pregnant. And I said, how can you talk like that? I mean, you just see some girl and say she's pregnant. I mean, how? She said that she's pregnant. Ask her, how do you know? She said, I know. She's pregnant. How many believe she was pregnant? She was pregnant. As I look, I saw no sign, no stomach, nothing. She said, look, I am a midwife. It's my job. Apart from pastoring, it's my job. She's pregnant. And she was. Because some things, when you see, you know. Duty number one of a pastor. One, the first duty of a pastor is prayer. It's prayer. I am speaking because I have come to the conclusion or the suspicion, I don't know which one you like, that many of us default in one or more places in the list I'm about to give you. I am of the opinion that many of us, I don't know, choose the one you like, default. We default in what the list I'm about to give you. And that is why we see little results of the labor to which we put our shoulders. And we see little fruit coming out. And sometimes we wonder, is God working at all? It's not God. It's us. And what I would say even more clearly is that sometimes it's not, you may do most of the big things, but the little foxes There are little things that are left undone, which have the power to undermine everything you have done. So tonight, pay close heed to this list that I'm about to give you. And I'm not looking for any response. I want you to check yourself and find out how you are doing. Number one, the first duty of a pastor is prayer. And my suspicion is pastors don't like to pray. Don't like to pray. Some pray. Sometimes out of force or awareness that they'll be asked. Or knowing certain other senior pastors may ask deliberate questions. But some pray. But I am wary of the fact that many pastors don't like to pray. When I say, have you ever seen somebody who likes food? No. We all eat. I don't mean that. Have you seen somebody who likes food? When that person likes food and the food comes, it's different. The smile, the excitement. Even the way they chew their food, they chew it patiently to extract all the juices out of the meat. Yeah. And the way they serve themselves. Am I the only one who have seen such a person before? Yeah. Those who like food, when their food comes, there's a certain attitude that now is the time. So we all pray, but there must be a, like I said, willingly, not of constraints. You must not only pray, you must like prayer. And you are saying, how can I like prayer if I don't like prayer? If you are at that point, say thank you, Jesus, because you have just admitted that you don't like prayer. That alone is a great start to your healing. That alone, that, prayer is not, if they say anything but prayer, I'll do but prayer, now I know they enjoy them. That confession, that acknowledgement is a great sign. Because now we can begin to work on ourselves. Hallelujah. Because prayer is the most important activity of a pastor. You're all unimpressed. No, you're unimpressed. Prayer is the most important single activity of a pastor. That and many pastors, this most important activity, you don't do it. You don't do it. Or you do it shabbily. Or you do it without passion. Or you do it under compulsion. Or you do it to mark hours, to tick hours on a schedule or a sheet. But this thing, prayer, it is the most important activity of a pastor. By far. And yet, I dare say, few of us put it as a priority. I dare say, few of us look for opportunity to pray. I don't know why you are quiet, but I don't care. The way we look for food, and we look for sleep, and we look for other things we like, I don't know who it is that is looking for an opportunity to pray. Looking. It's like, Tale, I have some 1 hour, B. Really? Tale, make I pray 1 hour, B. I have some, Oh, today we are having a meeting. The meeting is cancelled. It's cancelled. Charlie, some film be at the watch up. I don't finish. Yeah. Or let me go and pass Charlie. This is my classmate, my schoolmate. Today I'm free. So we are free. Eh? Okay. What I couldn't do that I wanted to do, I'll do it now. Rather than saying, Charlie, I have some free time. Let me go and pray. Let me lie down. Today's a holiday. Oh, holiday. I will wash, I will polish my shoes, I will iron my clothes, I will clean the house, I will do everything. But you won't say, let me take some time to lie in the cobwebs one more night and pray. It is the most important duty of a pastor and a shepherd. It must be something that if you have a son who is a student and you don't see him learning, he's writing WASI. WASI is just finishing. You have a daughter writing WASI and you don't see her learning, but you see her sitting at the table doing her fingernails. She can take her time. Then she can take her time to do her nails. Then she can take her time at the mirror to do her lipstick and her other additional additions. But you don't see her spending hours at a table in the house, dining hall table, or bedroom table is not safe. You know, dining hall table or a table you put on the veranda. You don't see the son or daughter sitting there. I tell you, prepare yourself for DDEF. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for DDEF, because the thing you are doing, that is where you are heading. I don't know. Yeah. You know, yeah, you're not praying. And maybe the recognition, maybe the first key I'll say is a recognition that is this. Give me the 1 Peter 5 again. Willingly, not by constraint. I don't like your vision. Eagerly. Willingly, okay, willingly is okay. But eagerly, eager means, look, when somebody is there, and today we are playing a match, Manchester against Arsenal, and you are at a meeting, match is at 9, and you are at a meeting at 8:45, it's ending. You say, please end quickly. Wind up the meeting quickly so that I can make it to be there on time. True or not true? Because we are keen and eager to watch that match. But there's no eagerness, there's no keenness to make it to a prayer time. I don't know why you're quiet. It doesn't matter. The first duty, maybe the most, not maybe, the most important duty of a pastor is to pray. Without me, you can do nothing. Prayer is just talking to God and just invoking his help on what we are doing. Hallelujah. The second duty of a pastor is visitation. Visitation. Ezekiel 33 tells us that you are not visiting. And the reality is, I've heard it several times from different people that, oh, me, I do my visitation on Thursday. I do my visitation on Saturday. I do my visitation. How many have heard it before? I Tell somebody you are not serious. You are not serious. You have, it's like me, I bath on Tuesdays. No, that one, don't say it. I bath on Tuesdays. Yes. And then me, you know, I go to work on Saturdays. I don't, what are you telling me? What kind of work are you doing? Visitation. A pastor who has days for visitation is not serious. A pastor who has a day for visitation is not serious. Why? Because it is your work. Every day, unless you are a pastor only once a week, then I'll accept you visiting once a week. But it is your work. The Lord says, I am against you. Why? Because you have not visited. For God to be, I don't know whether you are not interested in this, what I'm saying. For God to be against you. God to be against you. Not that he's neutral or he's just watching. But I'm against you. Against you means that I am fighting you. Maybe fighting you. Why? Because you have not visited. What sin have I done in staying home on a Tuesday evening or a Wednesday? What sin have I done? What sin have I done? Friday, Wednesday evening. I'm a man. I have a wife. I have 3 children. I'm at home with my children. What evil have I done? The evil of not visiting somebody when you call yourself a shepherd or a pastor. When you are, if you are an ordinary church member, go home and eat omoto and rice and fried rice. That one, there's no problem at all. But when you have taken upon yourself the title of shepherd or pastor, sitting at home, no. It is, you know, somebody says that I can't always go out and most of us, every single day, we leave our homes. Most of us. Yeah. You leave your house. A shepherd, a pastor. There's a man in our area who has cows. I don't think there's a day that he doesn't go out with his cows. I don't think anybody, once I went to visit a farm, I had a friend who had a farm. He had cows and sheep and goat on his farm. I went to visit him for a holiday. And as I was there in the morning, he woke up, put on his boots. And then I said, oh, it's a holiday. He says, on a farm, there is no such word. Are you listening? On a farm, there is no such word. I said, it's Christmas. It was a Christmas holiday. Went to, me and my wife were just holidaying around. We got there on a nice farm. So we slept. Then I woke up in the morning. Just to lie in bed and sleep holiday, Christmas holiday. He said, no, on a farm, there is no such word as, tell somebody, there is no such word as holiday. Every day you wake up to milk the cows. Every day. I mean, not that every day wake up. 4 a.m., you are up to milk the cows and collect all the things and put the, before at by 7 or 8, you're coming for breakfast, then you can say, holiday. The holiday is after you have worked. I don't know what you're talking about. But some of us, you are permanently on holiday. You have not visited. You have not visited. That is why many of our members are easily blown away by any shaking or any trouble because their linkages, their bonds to the head of the church is weak. It's not a certain kind of bond that is overbearing. Just this evening, I was talking to somebody who told me she had problem. What's the word? Problem. Serious problems. Problems. Tell somebody problems. Every kind, financial, every kind. But the pastor was so at the side that there was no way of leaving the church. Your sheep, you don't even know where they are. You don't know who's sleeping with your sheep. You don't know what's happening in their lives. And some things, until you go there, you will never see. You will never see the kind of room she's in. Then when you enter them, then you see the dresses hanging. Hey, what dress is this hanging? The dress is 2 inches long. What dress is this? I mean, who wears this dress? Oh, you know, you wear this dress even sometimes. That alone is a problem. Come, let's discuss your character or your morals. You go to a room, you see a young man watching video. When you enter in, then he shuts the laptop. Straight away, beep, 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 beep. Straight away, alarms should be ringing. Straight away. You don't have to say, hey, stop. Open it again. Open it right now. Let me see what you are looking at. Nah, Pastor, it's okay. Pastor, it's nothing. That's the answer. You have not visited. That is why our churches are not growing. That is why we are not able to keep. We are losing members. We are losing members. And members who are not sons of perdition. Meaning there is no sensible reason why this one should be lost. There is no reason why this guy is not in church, established and regular. No reason. And he doesn't come for what? Because pastors have been happy sitting in their homes. And sometimes we use telepastoring as our escape routes. Telepastoring is not wrong. But a house girl is not supposed to replace their wife. A house girl can do some things, but it cannot do. She is not supposed to even attempt to do everything. It's wrong. And you have taken telepastoring to replace visitation. Not visiting. We have the third duty. Visit anywhere. I remember one night around 10 o'clock, I had come from Tamale and I was in Kumasi. I was visiting Prophet Kakra. Around 10 o'clock at night, he said, come, let's go. I said, where? He said, to visit somebody. I said, hey, 10 o'clock? He said, yes. Got in the car, then we drove to somebody's house. We got there around 10:30. Yeah. You say lights out. That is why his church is the way it is. That is why people follow him from everywhere to everywhere. You think it's just prophetic anointing that is shouting there? No. It's also at that connecting hearts. People's hearts are in his hands. You don't visit anybody. The third duty. And you see, please, as I'm speaking, it is useless to agree, and then just you must realize that, Charlie, this may be why my church is not growing as I expect or I hope or it should. Because there are many things. But you see, the one that strikes you is maybe your weakness. Because a car has four tires. True or not true? It has four tires. All the four tires do not have to be flat before the car stops moving. Just one. Just one of the four tires is required to be flat. When that happens, the whole car, you say, oh, I have four tires. One is only 125%. No. That is enough to stop you. That is enough to let the whole machine grind to a halt. When you see articulator on the road, some have 18 wheels, some have 22 wheels, and they are driving. Then you hear, pull, one has burst. Will you keep going? I have 19 more. I have 19 more. You know, hey, mate, master, one time blow, hey, mate, it'll be anything. I get 19 more. Let's keep going. What will happen? Pull, 18 more. Pull, 17 more. That's what is going to happen. That's what's going to happen. So they have all the tires, but they stop to repair the one. When one is out of place, this evening, just check and see which one is out of place. The third duty is counseling and preaching. The third duty of a pastor is counseling and preaching. If you are a pastor and you don't preach every week, send me a resignation letter and then go back and go and do your business. If you are a pastor and you don't do what? You're not mind making. You don't do what? You don't preach what? Every week. What should you do? Send me a resignation letter. I will accept it. Because it is your duty. It is your duty to preach. You say, oh, no, pastor, I don't have a branch. You know, there are head pastors here. I'm not a head pastor, so I'm exempted from that requirement. Beautiful. You are also exempted from that title. So we'll now call you senior minister or senior shepherd. Yeah, if you don't want to be a pastor who is preaching that I don't preach, no, then that title, pastor, relinquish it. And then come, I'll give you a new one, senior shepherd. A duty of the pastor is counseling and preaching. You must be sharing the word of God. You must be sharing the word of God regularly. You must be sharing it. Clearly, you're not interested because you're all looking at me and saying, next point. No, if you're a pastor and you see, some of you have hidden under the guise that I'm not a senior pastor. Or even a shepherd who is here. Say, oh, I'm a shepherd. I don't even a shepherd is a pastor. That is why you two, you must have a forum. Oh. I remember those days when you come to Collegonon Cathedral, then you see groups of 2, 3, 4, 7 over the whole church. How many are pastors in those days? Shepherds. Shepherds have gathered small groups of people to preach to them. When you enter Collegonon Cathedral, you see there's a hum talking everywhere. Why? Small groups everywhere. Everybody has gathered 2, 3, 5 people and are standing in a corner shamelessly talking to 3 people. And you see them standing with great strength preaching to 5 people. Then you are seeing that we have built a mega church. You are sitting in a church of 20 people. You are not rising up to do anything. Your shepherds are coming to church, just walking around. Because this assignment, this duty of a pastor shepherd is not being done. Preaching and teaching, sharing the... Ask your neighbor, when was the last time you shared the word? Some of you, you say, you shared the word. Share. When I say share the word, you have stood to share. I mean, share the word. Maybe if you're a pastor, you share once a week. Borderline. Pastor, you share once a week. Borderline. Borderline. The fourth duty of a pastor is interaction with church members. I am in a new church. My current assignment that I've given myself is to know the names of every member. So this past Sunday, I met Blessing, Gabriel, Hilda, Henry, Cecilia. There's one I've missed. Who's the one I missed? Appear to. Know my members. Interact with my members. Yes. And the girls, when they change their hairstyle, you don't remember them again. When they come, last week they had long locks. This week they've cut it all short. Then you wonder, were you the one I saw? You look alike. But you are not interacting with your sheep, your members. You are loading. Go back to the scripture over there. There's one particular word I'm looking for. Willingly, God, eagerly. No. Here it says domineering over your church. Not domineering. Not ruling them harshly. Lead them on. What did Jacob say when Esau said, I'm giving you your soldiers to guide you into? Jacob said, no. I cannot go at your speed. I must go slowly. Why? Otherwise, all the children will die. All the lambs will die. I can't go fast. I think it's Genesis 28 or 29 or 31 or something. It says, I can't go fast. We have to go slow because all the young ones will die. You cannot be a pastor ruling the church. You must smell of sheep. One day I was working with a certain pastor in his area. As we are walking the area, then I told him, I didn't say you are useless, but I said something like that. You are useless. He asked me why. I said, we have worked in the area. Nobody shouted, hey, also. Nobody shouted, pastor. Nobody greeted you, pastor, also, in the area. No, you are useless. This is your area. This is your area. You are working here. Nobody's greeting you, pastor. It is, oh, pastor. Or just, oh, pastor, hi. Just greeting you. Nobody greeted you. No, something is wrong. You are not correct. You can work in your area and they will not salute you. Even a shepherd, they should know you. A good shepherd, they should be calling you pastor. A good shepherd, they should be calling you pastor. You are begging them, I'm not their pastor. Okay, pastor. We have heard, we agree. You're not their pastor. Okay, pastor. That's a good shepherd. Because you are shepherding shepherding stroke pastoring the members. I'm telling you why many of our churches are not growing. And we are here trying to look for other. There's no magic. There's nothing special. The work, this is the work. This is the work. And if you are here, you know, a church is not growing. And you see, maybe part of one of the troubles is that we have accepted that our churches don't grow. We are comfortable with 70, 70, 70, 70, 70, 70, 70, 50, 50. We are comfortable with what we have. How we got here, we are forgotten. That we are here is enough. And we have, you have a child who was 3.5 kilos, 4.2 kilos, 4.8 kilos, 5.7 kilos, 6.3 kilos, 6.3 kilos, 6.3 kilos, 6.3 kilos. What? Are you going to be rejoicing? Are you going to be satisfied after all? I mean, I came from 3.4. Now I've reached 6.2. It's not too bad. I've doubled from 3.4 after 1 year. You have grown some. You have grown some. But somehow, somewhere, we have stopped growing and we have happily sat there, not growing. Happily sat there at the same. Go and check your graph. Check your church attendance for the last 6 weeks or 8 weeks. You'll find that you are at the same level ad infinitum until Jesus comes. I'm closing. I don't know why. Oh, I'm closing. I'm the only one disturbed in this room. No. Oh, yes. I'm the only one disturbed. So I don't see why I should disturb you. Hallelujah. The fifth duty of a pastor is to participate in all necessary meetings. Look around you and tell me that duty is being fulfilled. The fifth duty after PVCI, which we all know at our fingertips, the fifth duty of a pastor or a shepherd is to participate in all meetings. All necessary meetings of the church and of pastors. And this meeting is not for ordinary members. It's a very important meeting for pastors. And look around me and tell me that pastors are here. You know, you tell me pastors are here. Tell me shepherds are here. And that is why, as I'm speaking, I'm wondering whether I'm wasting my passion. I'm burning my passion on, half are not here. I'm just agitated for nothing. You are worried about Ghana economy. What is your problem? You are worried. You are worried about the roads in Ghana, the Accra Kumasi Highway, and you are agitated. What is wrong with you? No. They say 2026, they'll finish. Yeah, relax. What are you? You are, look, we've got to do something. The road from Accra to Kumasi is dangerous. It's too narrow. It's too, when the car passes each other, then they are vibrating. It's too, hey, relax. Nothing is going to change. Maybe I should go and find a place to relax and just, because those who, I don't know, I mean, and I feel that I don't feel I'm talking to somebody who understands what I feel. I, I've been in a church where we have not grown for a season. It has worried me every single week. Every single week, it has been a struggle in my soul. Every single week. Where I am now, I tell you, somebody will die. No. It will not be repeated. It will not be repeated. It will. They are here. One is here. One is here. They are here. It will not be repeated. It will grow, I tell you. I heard by thunder, by fire. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. By thunder, by fire, it will grow. It will grow. I will. Look, and rest. Rest. No. Today I lost a friend. A friend passed away this morning, last night, who was in the middle of many activities. No. We'll fight this fight. Oh, yes. All necessary meetings. And if you like, let's do a roll call of those who are not here and why they are not here. You'll be embarrassed at the reasons. You'll be shy. You stop the meeting in the middle and say, it's okay. Let's just continue. And God forgive all of us. We are all sinners. This is their sin. My sin is different. That's all. No. It's not like that. The sixth duty. The meetings, they are... Oh, you see, what meetings are you supposed to attend? Any meeting you are summoned to, you are supposed to be there. Any meeting, some are default. But any meeting you are called to, you are supposed to be there. But we so easily dodge. And you see, a meeting, every meeting you dodge, something has gone out of you. Every meeting you miss or you dodge, I don't know which one is applicable. Something has gone out of you and you have missed something that should have been there to make you more complete. More complete. But you are not doing that. Something that will make you a better person, a better pastor, more capable, more skilled. You know, many people can drive. But some are bad drivers. Some, you shouldn't be a driver. Your license, they should collect it from you. Oh, yes. Because there are just a few people, not many, just a few who are good drivers, who understand the road etiquette, who know the meaning of all their lines, all the roadsides. Hey, one day I watched TV. I don't know what program it was. Yes, they were asking drivers on the roadside, what are these signs? Hey, look, it was terrible. People have no idea. They are drivers on the road. There's a road sign. No idea what it means. One, level crossing. The guy had no idea. Wait, I mean, who be that? And then 1B, there was something. They must, with their chest, a fahasi. They all spoke tree. I don't know what it means. They all spoke tree. I don't know what it means. And you see, when you learn how to drive, you learn all these things, you never forget it. But when you learn how to drive without learning these things, you will never know it also. You will never know it. We have many more. The sixth duty, last one for today, because I don't see why. I'll tell you. The sixth duty of a pastor is loyalty and faithfulness to God, to church, to leadership. The sixth duty of a pastor is loyalty and faithfulness to God, to church, to leadership. One of the key One of the key mistakes we make about loyalty when we talk about it is that many of us read it as somebody should follow and be humbly present in church forever. Are you with me? But if you are a loyal person, you are in church and you just come pay your tithes, be there every Sunday, and that is what we easily understand as loyalty. But one of the key definitions or key understanding of that word loyalty is that it is not changing. Not changing. And it is very important because many pastors, you will find that what you are now is not what you were. Many pastors, you will find that when you were a shepherd, you were better than when you became a pastor. You find that when you were a shepherd, you were doing more visitation, more prayer, coming to work harder, walking around the area. And then you appointed a pastor. You have changed. And in effect, you are not loyal to the calling you had as a shepherd. You are not loyal to that calling. And it is required of us. It that a man be found faithful, be found loyal, unchanging. You have changed. Unchanging. I suspect that many of us worked once and our churches grew. And then we changed and then became complacent. And church is stagnated. And you have not been loyal to the calling, to the work you were doing years ago. But it is a requirement that you should be loyal. Loyal. Loyal to God. Loyal to God. When I tell people, I have tithed since 1982. 82 or 83, I think 82. I started tithing 82. I have not defaulted except for 3 months. 3 months that I didn't pay tithe because I was very broke. And I said, I need the money more than God. So I took the money from God. And when the pressure increased, I came back quickly and said, God, take your money back. You're not helping me again. Since then, ask your neighbor, what is your tithe record like? And sum to your tithe record, maybe you have paid 20 cedi for one calendar year. Are we mad here? I mean, what are you telling us? 20 cedi for a calendar year. Meanwhile, you are driving a car. What are you telling us? Tell someone you're not loyal. You're not loyal. You're not loyal to God. You're not loyal. I don't know how many of us can say that we actually really pay 10% of our increase. Our increase. My tithe card is there. Rarely is it the same every month. I don't remember. I think there's some months where the same. That month, nobody's come to visit me. No, rarely is my tithe the same month after. Rarely the same for 2 months, 3 months. I don't remember. It's always changing. It's always because people are always giving me things, and everything you give me, it is in my increase. I don't know. What is it? Only your official salary you tithe on. All the rest is private. It's private. It's not part of my income. Just my salary from Ghana Health Service, Ghana Education Service, Bank of whatever. That is my salary. I tithe on that one. All that they give me, Pastor, you know, they're private assembly, and yet God knows they are that one. Until he takes it from you, you're not loyal to God. You are not. You are not. Many of us have undertied, underpaid. Loyal to God. Loyal to the church. Loyal to the church. Loyal to the church. It means when we agree that loyal means unchanging. It means the church that we entered into 19 something or 20 something. The one we are building should be by the same pattern or a new improved version, not inferior. The church we are building, the church I came to meet, it was full of vibrant evangelism and things. I don't think that is the church we have currently. I don't think that's what we have right now. I think that we have backslidden. I don't know. Ask somebody, when was the last time you did evangelism? You. When was the last time you did evangelism on the street or somewhere? You are a shepherd. You are a shepherd. You are a pastor. You are a shepherd. You are a pastor. When was the last time you took your face to go and ask a stranger, can I talk to you? You took, strangers, some of them, they can disgrace you. Hey! Especially somewhere where they say they all go to church. Look, when was the last time you went with yourself to go and face a stranger and say, excuse me, please, Crutchy, director, boss, please, I beg you 1 minute. They can look at you somewhere. You want to open the ground and go there. Oh, the last time you did that thing. When was the last time? Faithful to the church that we found. We have changed. We have not. Look, I don't know how many vibrant prayer meetings we have going on in our council. I don't know how many prayer meetings, vibrant, bubbling, exuberant, exciting prayer meetings. I remember many years ago, I remember that every many Fridays, different kinds of prayer meetings, different activities. As you are coming, you are never sure today what it will be. Remember the season you may scream. Ish. That season of prayer, you may scream. There is no shame. You will come to Kodesh. It will not be a simple the meeting. They're young. I mean, sweat. Oh, no. Prayer meeting. We came to pray. And we prayed that we are going back home. Loyalty. I don't know how many of us can look at our churches and try to see how close to the template we are. Overseers, how close to the template that was passed down to us is what we have. That what we pass on, is it what we received? To be continued. I'm looking for somebody who is disturbed in his heart. I'm looking for somebody who is unhappy. Today, you didn't preach a happy message. What you are preaching is a disturbing message. I'm looking for somebody who is not happy in his heart. Is there anybody here like that? Sharp. That now, this, when you have seen your friend bury his mother or his father, you're not happy. It's not a good news you are bringing. Shabakataya. Rabandede kusakataya. Rebayande kusindede kati kasharaba. Rebendede kasaya katoru bakiriyanda. God help us. Reboyanda biriyande biriyande biriyande. We were handed beautiful churches. We were handed working churches, growing churches, happy churches, warm fellowships. Pashandada katiriyanda. Churches that began 2, 3, 4 people and grew to 50, 60 more. That's what we're handed. Sandaraki koya kaya barandede. But these days, we are just hanging on to just survival mode. Hanging on to something that is just something. Shandede bokiria. Bokiriandede kasaya rabanda katiriande. Rabiria robondo kakia rabakiri andada rebarandere baso katiriande. Something is wrong with what we are doing. Something is wrong with what we are doing because the fruits are different. The fruits are different. Kayandere basaya katiriande rabaya rabayandara kiria robonde de kasaya kebo kataya. Somebody must be agitated in his heart that I don't like what I have. I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't like it anymore. I have been reminded that this is not how it should be. I don't like it again. Bakiria, bakiria. Basanda koteyandara reboya. Rebayande raboya and akiri. Somebody must say that I got to rediscover what our fathers gave us. Like the time they found a book hidden in the temple. And they said, bring it out, let's read it. We found the book. We found the book. It was in the temple. Bring it out. Let's go back to it. Let's go back to it. Kitaya. Kitaya sandere. Sandere rabondada. Kiribosakataya. Rabbi Andedi, Rabbi Andedi, Rabbo Kataya, Rebayandada, Rebo Kasendi, Kiria, 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 Randada Bisakataya, Raboya, Raboya, Rebayandede, Rabbo Kasendi, Chiriba, Katiriande, Chiriba Sandada, Rabbo Kataya, Iandada, Rabayandada, Rabbo Kiriandede, Rebayandede Basandada. There should have been a shout of prayer. There should have been a bubbling, a burst of prayer as we recognize how far, how different we are. Look at us standing peacefully, quietly, just coolly, just mumbling a word of prayer, just easily, just gently, just saying something coolly. There should have been a disturbance, a disturbance. There should have been agitation in our hearts. But rather, we are just peacefully, 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 just humming a prayer. There should have been a anger at ourselves. How did I get here? How did I become a part of this move? How did I come to the place where suddenly I'm one of those whose churches are stagnated? Churches have been the same for 5, 6, 10 months. How did I get here? Where here I am, as I look at my church, it's been the same. My last preaching, I don't remember. My last meeting a new member is some time ago. How did I get here? Kasondada. Kasonda bakiriabe, rabo kashandere, rebo katiriade. How did I become one of those whose churches have not grown past 100 in 1 year? In 1 year, we are still laboring around the same figure. How come I'm here among them? What has happened to me? Basandere. Ayandada Bakasandada. Rabatiri Yandere. Rabo Yanda. Rabo Yande. Rebo Yandada Kiri Bosakataya. Rebo Yandede Chiri Bakataya. Rebayanda Kasendede. Basandada. Basandada. Lord, stir our hearts tonight. Stir our hearts tonight. Rekindle. Rekindle once again. That fire that made us become serious church members. Rekindle that thing again that was in our hearts, that made us go against our parents, our family, our friends, and become serious in church. And today here we are, serious in church, but no fruits. Rekindle that fire again, once again, once again, in our hearts. Basa, shara bakete yandere, basiri yandere. Basiri Andere, Basiri Katoyanda, Rabaka Shendede, Rebaya, once again, oh God, set our hearts on fire. Give us no rest, no peace. No rest, no peace. Let us once again desire to press on, press on, press on until the churches grow. Let every church grow. Let us accept no stagnant churches. Never again. Never again. We will not accept a church that won't grow. No, 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 no. You are sacked. It must grow. It must grow. Help us, oh God. Help us, oh God. Never to go back the way, that way again. Of normalcy. Stagnant churches. No, no. Rabba Katiri Yandere. Rabba Sondada. Once again, God. Once again, Lord. Once again, Lord. Let there be a revival. A revival. A stirring. A stirring. A stirring in our hearts. Let us have... Give Zion no peace. Let there be no peace in heaven. Heaven will be disturbed by some crazy people on earth who are sick and tired of their churches that have stopped growing. Heaven will now be agitated because some people on earth are agitated. Somebody on earth has woken up that, no, this is not how I was. This is not what I'm used to. This is not what I know about church growth. Rabba dada katiriande. Rabba so kasheya. Rabba, this is not where I came from. These are not my origins. What I know is church growing, increase, growing. First timers, newcomers, every single Sunday. First timers, newcomers, new believers schools. Growing up, growing up, growing up. Bringing them far up until one day a new convert becomes a shepherd. And that's what we know. But right now, where are we? Where are we? Where people just disappear. Just disappear out of our range. Rada kasende de katoya. Rabi kasaya. Rakatai. Randa da shidi bokasaya. Reboyanda. Reboyanda. Redende de katai kasende. Aya, 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 aya. Aya, aya, bakaya, bakaya, rabandada. Lord, how did we come here? How did we come here? That we are now presiding over stagnant churches. Presiding over churches that have stopped growing. Churches that have no longer new converts and first timers. Churches that are just running through the mill. Just going through the motions. Our hearts once again. Ratayandede. Ratayandede. Roboka Sanda. Stir our hearts again, oh God. Stir our hearts again, oh God. Rabayandede. Raboka Sanda. Chidi Basia. Chidi Basia Kataya. Let us set in fire. Holy Ghost fire. Once again, once again, once again. Once again, come down, come down. Come down, Holy Ghost. Down and stir us once again. Stir us once again. Thank you, Lord, for another chance, another opportunity to do your work. Thank you for a reminder of where we came from, who we are, our genes, our destiny, our origins. let that fire burn once again brightly in our hearts. Let the old-time religion that we used to follow, let us rediscover it with all the new technology of today, to become even wilder. Cause us to give heaven no rest until once again our churches grow. Cause us to agitate and stir the heavens until once again people flood into our churches. Cause us to once again see a sinner turned into a saint, a new convert become a shepherd. Help us once again to guide people along that path. Bring them to a level where once again we see where we came from. See our time. I was once like this young man walking here, aimless and foolish. But here I am today. You too will walk that road. Help us, oh God. Help us. Help us, oh God, to be the best we can be. Thank you for tonight. Let these few words, oh God, stay in our hearts and stir us into activity once again for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
When he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home."
We believe the word of God has come through to you. Join us at the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, behind the Confidence Eating Place, this and every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. every Tuesday. Stay blessed.
He called me back.